Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from our Gospel, Luke 23. Now when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, "Certainly, this man was innocent." This is the text. Our Gospel reading for today was very long. It's also very rich with many different episodes of what happened during Christ's period of tremendous suffering that we celebrate throughout this Holy Week. And since today is Palm Sunday, you might be asking some questions about the choice for this gospel reading. And why isn't it Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem? Why is it all of Luke chapter 23? Why are we hearing about the Passion reading? Why are we hearing this? That's for Good Friday, isn't it? Well, this Sunday is historically known as Palm Sunday, but it is also called the Sunday of the Passion. We begin Passion Week. Passion is a word in its proper understanding that usually and almost always involves suffering. Passion is a love or desire that consumes you and compels you to act, even if that will bring to you suffering. Jesus went through his passion because he has passion for you. He is consumed with the desire to save you. This desire compels him to remain silent before his accusers. And even though they're hurling all sorts of false accusations against him, he will not speak up and defend himself because it is his intent to go to the cross for you. His passion compels him to endure the humiliation and be mocked and spit upon and beaten and ultimately nailed to the cross. Such was his passion for you. For those who are confirming the faith of their baptism today, and for all of you who have stood before God and his church, confessed your faith, you too are to be filled with passion. Faith creates passion. Belief in God that does not inspire passion is merely head knowledge. Over the past couple of years, I've been teaching this group of five, and they have received a good deal of knowledge into their heads. A week ago, Friday night at our house, and last Sunday here in God's house, they displayed exceptionally well, as they have over the past few years in class, their knowledge of God. And their knowledge of his word. And the explanation of his word from Luther's Small Catechism. But having all of the right answers is not faith. You had faith before you ever opened up Luther's Small Catechism. Faith came to you in baptism. Many of you right there in front of you. For most of you, all of you here, for most all of you, you were baptized as a small child. When you were baptized, you could not articulate your faith. You could not speak of the mysteries or the majesty of God. But faith was there. Who better than a young child to have the faith of a young child? Faith was there when you were baptized. The Word of God joined with that water is what changed you. It wasn't anything that you did. Your old Adam drowned and died in the waters of baptism. As you confirm the faith of your baptism today, you celebrate that the old you died. many years ago. I would love to create greeting cards for baptism and confirmation that really say what we are celebrating. There is no reason to smooth over or not talk about both the ugliness of sin and death that sin brings, and also the understanding that it's not just water. We are washed in the blood of the Lamb. And it's appropriate that we read the passion of Christ as we hear God's children confirm the faith of their baptism. You were crucified with Christ and buried with him in baptism, as St. Paul says in Romans chapter 6. But it doesn't end there. You were raised to a new life. Baptism is a drowning. There's my first greeting card that I would publish. Send that one to your kids or grandkids. See what they think. We celebrate a drowning today. But this is good. It is also a new birth. Baptism was the first time that you were raised from the dead. Your old Adam drowned. You were raised to a new life in Christ. The promise is that it will not be the last time you are raised from the dead. And this understanding of what God has done for you is best received when you have the faith of a small child. When we get into trouble is when we try to overthink and rationalize everything with all of the head knowledge that we get when we become adults. In baptism, you drowned and died. And this is good. Even better, you have been reborn in water and the Word. And you are the temple of God's Holy Spirit. We gather today to celebrate the death of the old Adam in baptism. And we gather to celebrate the death of the second Adam. It is in the blood of Christ, the Word made flesh who dwelt among us. It is in the blood that he shed that washed you clean. Now you wear white robes, just as we are told the saints in heaven do, just like the ones whom John writes about and says, these are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Many of you probably wore a white robe many years ago when you were baptized. And that white robe of baptism, the white robe of confirmation, which many of us, we also wore, it is a symbol of a greater reality. There is a robe that all of you are wearing right now. In the sight of God, you are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. His blood has covered your sin. Now the centurion witnessed the death of Christ and he said, certainly this man was innocent. Thankfully, the centurion was wrong. This man, Jesus Christ, was guilty of your sin and mine. And we witness the white robes of the confirmands and seeing them all dressed up, we are tempted to say, certainly, these five young people are innocent. Certainly, I know better than that. Trust me. They are not innocent, but in Christ, because of the faith of their baptism, they are declared not guilty by God himself. They are declared righteous in his sight. They have been and remain covered in the blood of Jesus Christ, washed in the blood of the Lamb. This is not head knowledge that helps you pass a test. This is the reality of the passion that God has for you. In a few moments, I will ask them a question. I'll ask several questions, but there's one in particular that speaks of passion. I will ask, as I have over the past few years, we've talked about this. It was asked last week during their questioning. And I will ask them once again, do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession and church, and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it? And they will answer, as they have numerous times up to this point, I do, by the grace of God. They will confess before God that they would rather suffer. Remember that passion almost always leads to suffering. And Christians do suffer in this life. That is a reality. But they are prepared to confess that they would rather suffer even death rather than fall away from the faith of their baptism, which they now confess. This is not merely head knowledge. This is faith in Christ. This is faith in His passion, in His suffering, His death, and certainly also His resurrection. Because just as Christ is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity, so will you rise and live for all eternity. That is the promise of your baptism. You will be raised from the dead once again. We gather this day to talk about death and life. We talk about the death of your old Adam, the old you that drowned in baptism, and the death of the second Adam as Christ endured His passion. But we are continually reminded that where God is present, new life, it always abounds. We celebrate the new life in Christ that they have known since the day of their baptism. The new life in Christ that we have in God's church on earth. And we celebrate the eternal life in Christ found in the resurrection. There's always going to be suffering as we journey in this sinful world. Remember, as you journey, that Christ's passion is for you. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.